Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Luxfer conference call on the first quarter of 2013. I will take you through the headline results. Andy Bean will go through the detail of the financials, and after a brief statement on the outlook, we will take your questions. The quarterly result was in line with our guidance and expectations, with underlying sales revenue down by some 1.5%. Within the overall small reduction, however, Electron is 14% down, while Cylinders is 13% up. While the operating margin in the cylinder business is improving, it remains much lower than the specialty materials businesses. And accordingly, the group's trading profit is 3.3 million lower than quarter one last year and around 1.2 million down on quarter four of last year. EPS of 35 cents was marginally better than the consensus forecast, and cash flow was strong. Looking at the sales revenue movement, slides 5 and 6 track from the 2012 first quarter result at the top of the schedule through to the 2013 result at the bottom. In our Electron division, the headline sales revenue line is dominated by the reduction in rare earth surcharges, as the cost of, in particular, cerium, has collapsed to less than 10% of its peak, although still being much higher than at the start of 2010. Stripping the movement in the surcharge out, underlying sales declined by some 14%, with the majority of the decline in our zirconium automotive catalysis business, although sales of magnesium powders for military flares were also well down. After very strong sales in the fourth quarter of last year, sales of photo engraving sheet were also down in the first quarter, but by the end of the quarter, the photo engraving order book was back at normal levels. On rare earths generally, prices continue to drift downwards, and this does create difficulties for us as we try to match the customer surcharge to input costs and avoid the need for stock write-downs. In the long term, however, lower rare earth costs make several of our materials more competitive. Lynas, the Australian rare earth miner, is finally in production at their Malaysian plant, and the re-election a few days ago of the incumbent Malaysian government removes one potential threat to the project. We are in the process of qualifying their material. The cylinder business enjoyed a good quarter in terms of both demand and business improvement. Sales revenue was up by some 13% on last year, with the main story being that our alternative fuel cylinder manufacturing facilities, recently expanded by the Dynatec acquisition, were substantially full. In Europe, demand for medical cylinders was lower than this time last year, when we had a very strong demand following the award of UK National Health Service home oxygen therapy contracts to various gas companies at the end of 2011. Demand for specialty gas cylinders was also weaker, and this is a high-margin product, but this is thought to be the gas companies managing their stocks rather than any weakness in the underlying markets, mainly electronics. Encouragingly, however, the US SCBA market, mainly for firemen's breathing apparatus, is still showing improvement after several years of lackluster demand. Our customers tell us that many of the units purchased by fire brigades using federal grants post 9/11 are reaching the end of their operating lives. Export orders are also strong in this sector. On new product development, on alternative fuel cylinders, we are winning a lot of business in this growing market, and our three composite facilities in the USA, Canada, and Germany were quite full in quarter one. We are in the process of de-bottlenecking production of the aluminum liners, which should increase capacity by the equivalent of around $7 million per annum for the second half of this year, and by a further up to $10 million per annum from the start of next year. The average price of these large cylinders is over $2,000. Our post-acquisition program removed a lot of overhead costs from the Dynatec businesses, along with cutting purchase costs and otherwise improving margins. While much work remains to be done to make the business acceptably profitable, especially on pricing, I am satisfied that we have achieved our initial objective to eliminate recurring operating losses by the end of quarter one 2013. As I mentioned on the last call, one exciting growth area for us is entering into the market for high-capacity gas transportation modules. Demand for these modules appears to be growing very rapidly, and we have committed substantial resources towards meeting the demand that we see in 2013 and 14. This includes committing customer leasing facilities of up to $10 million, although the vast majority of near-term opportunities appear to be for outright sale. At the end of quarter one, we have a quarter two order book of around 1,200 cylinders to be built into approximately 40 small gas transportation units. Amongst other applications, these are being used by oil and gas exploration companies to convert generators in remote locations from diesel to natural gas in pursuit of environmental improvement. As stated on our last call, between our Riverside, California plant and the two ex-Dynateto operations, we are looking to generate over $50 million of sales from the overall alternative fuel business stream in 2013, up from circa $20 million in 2012, where we had only a part-year contribution from Dynatec. On magnesium, we are aware that work is progressing in independent laboratories on the standardized laboratory-scale tests that will allow seat manufacturers to test magnesium alloys for flammability. It will still be some months before this work is completed, but we remain confident that the use of certain magnesium alloys in civil aircraft interiors will be sanctioned before long. I attended the Aircraft Interiors Exhibition in Hamburg last month, where we demonstrated an electron alloy-based seat frame, attracting considerable interest from many of the smaller seat manufacturers that we were not already working with. Andy Beeden, Group Finance Director, will now give you more details on the financial results.
Thank you, Brian, and welcome everyone to the call. Brian covered the divisional sales analysis, and my first slide, slide 9, shows how that consolidates to the group revenue changes for Q1. Total revenue was $122.4 million, with net revenue of $119.2 million, and the rare earth chemical surcharge was $3.2 million. The group's underlying revenue was down 0.3% or $0.4 million, excluding the surcharge changes of $17.1 million, and adjusting for the FX translation difference, a negative $1.5 million. Electrons fall in net revenue being nearly offset by gas cylinders increase. Slide 10 shows the trend in sales for Q1 2013 by geographic region, the only notable changes being North American revenues now being 45%, a change from 41%, and Africa being lower due to the reduction in the surcharge to South African AutoCat customers. Turning to the trading profit result on slide 11, Brian talked through the factors affecting revenue and sales changes in the quarter. In line with sales changes, gas cylinders profits were higher, up 27% to $5.2 million, and electrons lower by 31%, down to $9.7 million. Operating margins were higher in both divisions, but with Electron being on average a higher margin business, the group's average margin fell to return on sales of 12.2% from 12.9% on the back of reduced sales from Electron. For Q1 2013, group trading profit was therefore $14.9 million versus $18.2 million for Q1 2012 and $16.1 million for Q4 2012. Guidance had been $14.1 to $15.1 million. Turning to the full income statement on slide 12, the gross margins were slightly lower, with Q1 2013 at 23.1% versus 23.8% for last year. Again, mainly due to the change in sales mix by division. Gross profit was therefore $5.4 million lower. But with reduced admin and distribution costs, trading profit was only $3.3 million lower. We did have $0.4 million of restructuring and exceptional costs, $0.2 million related to further rationalizations within gas cylinders, and 0.2 related to amortization of IPO share option costs. The amortization charge for the year for these costs is expected to be $0.5 million. Operating profit, which is after restructuring and other exceptional items, was $14.5 million for Q1 2013 versus $18.2 million for Q1 2012. We have previously indicated this would be similar to Q4 2012, which was $14 million. Below operating profit, the finance costs now have a new line item, which relates to the new revised IAS 19 retirement benefit accounting standard. As I have previously explained, under IFRS accounting, we now need to disclose a notional finance charge in relation to our pension deficits, which is $0.9 million for both Q1 2013 and Q1 2012, 2012 being restated from last year, with the opposite contra entry being an additional credit to reserves. There is no change in the deficit calculations, nor cash payment plans from this accounting standard change. Interest costs relating to our debt facilities was $1.5 million versus $1.7 million last year, a lower number due to lower borrowing. The effective tax rate is 31.4% versus 33.3% last year, and net income for Q1 2013 was $8.3 million, but adjusted for exceptional items and excluding the IAS 19 finance cost was $9.4 million. This is 35 cents per ADS. Last year, Q1 was $11.1 million on the same basis. For reference, adjusted EBITDA was $18.7 million compared to $21.9 million for Q1 last year. Turning to the balance sheet on slide 13, overall invested capital in the operating businesses is $182.3 million. Net of pension deficits of $79.8 million as at the 31st of March 2013. Pension deficits fell $16.9 million from $96.7 million at the end of 2012, this being due to better asset returns and slightly higher bond yields. Net assets or other shareholders' equity of the group has risen to $155.8 million, up $7 million from the end of 2012. Net debt, debt minus cash, is now $26.5 million. Our £70 million, or circa $108 million banking facilities, remained undrawn in the period. Turning to cash flow and slide 14, our operating cash flows in Q1 2013 were a positive $9.6 million, the same as for Q1 2012. It is fairly normal for us to have a working capital outflow in Q1, and though lower than last year, this was still $6.9 million. Looking at investment cash flows, we made investments of $6.4 million in the quarter. $3.9 million are normal internal capex, and we also made an investment in North America of $2.5 million to grow the gas transportation market for CNG using composite cylinder technology with one of our strategic partners, the funds being used for working capital and production facilities. Cash flow before financing was therefore $3.2 million. After paying dividends and interest of $3.9 million and some outstanding IPO costs of $0.3 million, net cash flow was an outflow of $1 million. The next slide shows return on invested capital, which was 23% for the quarter compared to 26% for Q1 2012. Note these figures have also been restated for IAS 19. Finally, turning to slide 16, I have set out the quarterly impact of the restatement of 2012 for the changes in IAS 19 pension accounting. I will not read through the detail, though I am happy to take questions later on. We have decided to add back the finance cost for IAS 19 when calculating our own non-GAAP adjusted net income figures. And as you can see, this aids better comparability to our historic results as previously reported and to other companies reporting under US GAAP that do not have to make this charge. These tables also show the impact on results per ADS using the share count as at the 31st December 2012, which was equivalent to 26.8 million ADSs outstanding, that being based on 13.4 million ordinary shares outstanding. Thank you, and I'll now hand you back to Brian to sum up.
Thank you, Andy. In summary then, quarter one was in line with expectations on sales and operating profit and slightly ahead on EPS. As indicated, we are currently experiencing reduced volumes on certain Electron product streams. While cylinders are showing both revenue increases and margin improvement, the overall impact of the mix change on profitability at the group level is for the moment negative. I am pleased that we achieved our objective to eliminate the recurring operating losses of the recently acquired Dynatec businesses by the end of quarter one. The outlook for 2013 remains cautiously positive, with expected substantial growth in our presence in the market for alternative fuel, containment and transportation, thought likely to outweigh lower defence sales and the probability that European automotive will remain weak for several further months. Despite the weakness in these two markets, based on customer forecasts in other sectors, further growth in alternative fuel cylinder sales, especially for gas transportation modules, and an expected recovery in the photo engraving plate market, we do see quarter two being stronger than Q1. For the full year, while we remain nervous about the automotive market and about the potential impact of sequestration, we are retaining our previous guidance for the year to an increase in trading profit of between $2 million and $5 million. Based on an expectation of lower restructuring costs than in 2012, this would mean an equivalent operating profit improvement of between $3 million and $6 million. Clearly, this is based on us achieving a significant uplift in the second half, and we will take another view once we see how the second quarter ends. Thank you, and we will now take questions.
At this time, I'd like to remind everyone, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Luke Folta of Jefferies.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Luke.
First question I had was, there seems like there's a lot of momentum around the alternative fuel tank market right now, and you noted that there's a couple of different things you're doing to expand capacity there. I guess I just wanted to understand from a higher level, you know, what would happen if sales in this business were dramatically ahead of what you expect they would be over the next couple of years or so? And I guess I'm just trying to get a sense of how fast could you, you know, expand capacity meaningfully? I know there's some things you're going to do with the liners this year, and it seems like there's that phase two, which I'm not totally certain on what that's all about for January. But I'm just trying to get a sense of really what the how good the bull case could be if this thing really takes off, which it seems like it's in the beginning works of doing so.
Okay. Well, the liners are currently our bottleneck, so that's why we're focusing on increased capacity there. And the reason it comes in phases is because there's more than one piece of equipment involved. We need some additional heat treatment capacity, which is coming in the middle of the year, and that gives us a slight increase. Well, not insignificant, really, $7 million per annum of sort of revenue capacity. But the main piece of equipment is a new spinning machine, which forms the ends of the liners. And that won't be in place until the start of next year, because basically it's on a 12-month lead time. And 12-month lead time is probably a reasonable rule of thumb to use in terms of how quickly we can put additional tranches of certainly liner capacity in place. When you're looking at these big composite cylinders, essentially, when you analyze it down, there are two major elements to it. One is making the liners, which we make in the main from aluminum tube, and secondly, the wrapping, the winding machines, which wrap the carbon fiber tape around that. Those are probably available on a slightly shorter lead time, and they're also able to be put into place in relatively small modules, so it's not a major individual investment, perhaps $2 million per machine. So we can move reasonably quickly, but with a lag time of somewhere between 6 and 12 months, depending on how on where the bottleneck happens to be at the time. We also have to, of course, just have an eye to what the sustainable level of business in this industry is going to be. I'm talking there particularly about the gas transportation modules. I think we're pretty happy that the fuel systems for trucks and buses will continue to grow for really quite some time. There's no foreseeable end to that. But on the gas transportation modules, arguably, we're going through, if you'll excuse the pun, a bit of a pipeline fill over the next couple of years, and we're not quite sure where that market will settle down. But at the moment, we can't yet see the end to it. So we have declared that we expect to generate at least $50 million worth of sales from the business this year. We will have, by the time we get to the start of next year, we will have probably somewhere between $65 and $70 million worth of capacity. And hopefully we'll be looking at further increases in the course of the second half of this year in 14 for even higher figures beyond that.
That's great. Thank you very much. And secondly, can you just give us an update on what the CapEx plans are for 13, you know, what the total spend expectation is? If you've got any early read on 14, that'd be helpful, and just kind of what the major projects are in that number. Thanks.
Well, Lucas, it's Andy. As I say, I think we're sticking to our guidance for 13, which is $28 to $32 million in terms of expenditure. And normally we would say that that is at the high end of a normal year, the size of businesses we have today. So we've not given guidance for 2014 yet. But, you know, on a normal basis, even thinking about some of the opportunities, we wouldn't, you know, expect to be increasing above that without any dramatic, really, change in the business.
We'd really expect later years to fall back to a lower base level, perhaps in the 20 to 25 range. And then that the only overlay to that would be where we require to put additional capacity in to satisfy some of the strategic growth initiatives that we've been talking to the market about.
Which would, I mean, if you remember, the big one is if we decided to build or needed to build a new zirconium plant for, say, $15 million. But our normal expectation would be that that might be a lower capex spend year for other parts of the business, and, you know, focusing more on making that a one-off project.
Great. Thanks a lot, guys. I'll turn it over.
All right. Thanks very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Julian Mitchell of Credit Suisse.
Hi. Morning. Thanks a lot.
Good
morning. So the first question would be just around the organic growth, just, you know, total company. I think it was down very slightly in Q1 year-on-year. About 0.4 million or something. When you think about the cadence for the next three quarters and the balance of the year, you know, what are you assuming for sort of the trend run rate on organic sales growth?
Well, we see further growth in the cylinder business, so that we, over the course of the year, we'd still be hoping for double-digit growth in the cylinder top line. And on the Electron side, we've flagged for some time that we expect that division to be at best flat over the year, with the two markets of automotive, mainly European automotive, and defense being down, and at best growth in other areas of the Electron business making that good. Now, that does entail, obviously, a pickup in the Electron numbers in the second half of the year. Not in defense, because we've reckoned that will be now fairly flat for the next couple of years, but a bit of a pickup in automotive volumes, and some improvement in other areas such as the aerospace alloys will bring that division back towards a level year. And so the group's top line growth this year will basically be the cylinders growth divided by two, because it's roughly half of the division. Half of the group, rather.
Got it. Thanks. And then within, just to follow up, within the photo engraving business, you mentioned sort of orders had picked up a bit. Could you talk more generally about the trend in orders for your kind of short cycle businesses in Elektron, excluding defense?
Well, defense is pretty well flagged for the year. Automotive tends to operate on quite short lead times, and so that one is more difficult. We do get some forecasts from customers, but it's very much a case of relatively short lead times. So we don't know until much closer to the date what the level of demand is going to be there. So that's the one where there's the big question mark. On markets like photo engraving plate, they tend to be fairly stable. I mean, as you know, photo engraving plate is not one of our big growth areas. It's more of a stable cash cow business. And quarter one sometimes is a little bit flat, especially if they've taken a lot of stock on in quarter four, perhaps in the run-up to Christmas. But the order book there does give us a reasonably high level of visibility for the following quarter, and that's back at normal levels at the end of quarter one. So I think that quarters two, three, and four will be back at a normal level for that, and the quarter one reduction will be a bit of a one-off.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Phil Gibbs of KeyBank Capital.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. How much of the margin improvement in the second half of 13 in Elektron right now is baked into your forecasts right now relative to where we were in the first quarter?
Well, there is a fairly hefty uplift, but it's modeled around the forecast that we either get from our customers or an expectation that there will be some recovery in European automotive. And certainly the last external forecast that I saw were predicting that market would be progressively less down on the prior year until the fourth quarter ended up a little up on the fourth quarter of 2012. And normally, if we see that sort of cycle, we would see an end to the destocking and a commencement of restocking around about the third quarter of this year. So we are anticipating an uplift in our automotive volumes in the second half, and to eliminate some of the negativity that you see in the quarter one results.
Now, have you seen that automotive business stabilize yet on a sequential basis?
It's been pretty flat Q1 over Q4, so we're not really seeing evidence of any further destocking. So hopefully that's a sign that the market has bottomed. But the last mainland European figures I saw, the last figures still showed a decline in the market cumulatively, and the only major market in fact which is going very strongly is the UK. Where the numbers are up about 10% year on year, but in mainland Europe it's down about 15 or 16%, and still dropping at the last.